All right, hi everybody. This is Hennessy from Arm Hug, and I'm here with Javon Harley from Lab Genius. If you guys have been watching our YouTube videos, he was previously interviewed on episode 4, so you guys can go check that out. We're just doing a catch-up show today just to talk a little bit about a few current events on what's going on with the phlebotomy industry now that COVID is kind of sticking its head out, and we're like, is that something we should be talking more about? Is it something that's not going away, and how, and what's expected of it? You know, we want to keep having these conversations. We'll also touch up a little bit on the IV hydration trainings and a little bit of what's coming up with phlebotomy trainings, right? If they could start becoming trained in IV hydration, they could start learning more about expanding their businesses. Right. There's people who actually are trying to start up, from my understanding, retail stores. So, Javon, take it away. Get us started. You know, like, what do you think? What do you think about what's going on now with phlebotomy?
Phlebotomy has always been consistent. It's what's around us that's changed. Right. So COVID has kind of awakened some underlaying of what phlebotomists can really do out in the field, right? And so mobile phlebotomy has been around for quite some time, but a lot of companies are like, oh, this is an appropriate opportunity because we recognize DoorDash and Grubhub and places like that really have served us. So having my healthcare provider come to my home is ideal, specifically for blood testing, right? So mobile phlebotomy is awesome, and it's a needed added value to not only one-on-one customers, but corporations.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like previously when COVID was starting to trickle down, there were a lot of people who probably had a really high impact growth to their business because they were thinking, oh my goodness, you know, phlebotomy is here to stay now. Everybody needs to be tested. Then there was kind of a dip, and then here we go again, right?
Right.
This like consistent wave that we keep seeing, which is good, but that's the nature of business.
That is. I was at a conference a few weeks back in New Orleans. It was the Executive War College, where leaders of different laboratories are there to not so much expo, but kind of bring some thought into the next phases of the laboratory industry, which will affect obviously phlebotomists. And one of those things that came up was data. So data collection, data migration, data all around what we are doing in the phlebotomy industry is extremely important. So the next way for phlebotomists is to, in my thought, is to position themselves within a group or within a setting that allows you to be a part of this kind of data collection process. So what we're doing here at Lab Genius is going to provide services to hospitals, individual patients, and, you know, providing a one-on-one service for them where they can, you know, receive care and access to care. But also we're collecting some information, some vital information in different communities that haven't had it before, especially in our communities, African-American communities, brown, Latino, Asian communities. We're collecting some information that are different from other ethnic counterparts. And so that's why mobile phlebotomy is extremely important. Becoming a part of a grouping allows us to be more in demand and scale as far as, you know, financially. Individually, we're learning, and I talked about this before, we're learning how to market ourselves, we're learning how to position ourselves in a market. In a group setting, we can collectively go after larger contracts, have a more, you know, desiring viewpoint when we're looking at, you know, different markets.
Yeah. And where are you finding these conferences and events for phlebotomy?
That's a great conference. So it's not necessarily for phlebotomy, right? Okay. What phlebotomists should be looking at is the laboratory, because that's the chain that they're connected to, their laboratory conferences. I also would recommend like the holistic or naturopathic doctors conferences, the functional or integrative medicine conferences. Those areas are places where we can glean information, right? Which is a lot of what phlebotomists need to do. Know where to market their services at. Connect with different laboratories who are looking specifically for their type of service. And so that's where I would start to kind of look at. Now, and it's an investment because these conferences are not cheap, but the value that you gain from being a part is great. Obviously, I'm a part of a larger entity, a laboratory as well, ID Tech Molecular Labs. And so we have a multiple use case. But one of the things that continues to happen when I go to these locations is talking about that mobile collection part. And so that's what I'm bringing back to this community to say, you guys are extremely important. Connect with, you know, individuals like myself, NSA, and, you know, get that information that is beneficial for you.
Yeah. You mentioned data. So what kind of data are you collecting that you feel is different? Because you mentioned that there's different racial groups that you're collecting different data from. Mm-hmm. Or is it that the amount of data that you're collecting from that specific group has now grown exponentially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say environmental studies, whereas, and this is anecdotal, but I would say that if I go into a less financially prominent area, their stress levels, there's a different other elements that affect them. And so if I look at their cholesterol levels and I say, well, you know, numbers are high. Well, why are they high? Is it because of bad eating habits? Are we looking at they haven't had their, you know, been seen by a doctor in a while? So those things that we can capture, right, from a data standpoint. And then vice versa, from prominent areas, they have more grocery options, more food options, air quality options, right? And if I do those similar tests, you know, do they look the same? And so those are talking points from a phlebotomist standpoint or mobile phlebotomist standpoint is how do I add value to the companies that I'm a part of? Well, this is the things that I've been looking at and researching and studying. And based on, quote unquote, Mrs. Jones's area, Ms. Jones doesn't have the best eating habits. She doesn't have a caretaker that takes care of her. She can barely get out to the grocery store. When she does, she buys, you know, sweets and things like that. So her diet, her A1C could be extremely high, right? Versus, you know, in another area where they have more access, it's different.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So should people be taking this data and you're saying, like if I'm a phlebotomist, I'm going to someone's home, I'm looking at the different types of people that I'm doing the blood test for. So is this a question for the phlebotomist to talk to the doctor about?
It could be. I mean, the doctor may be aware because of geographics. I mean, they may know. And again, I'll use Mrs. Jones as a avatar. Mrs. Jones, you know, I've been seeing Mrs. Jones for the last 7 years. I know her habits. I know what she's not doing, what she is doing based on, you know, the relationship that we have. So I may have some understanding, but to be able to go into the home and be able to say, well, Mrs. Jones has, you know, her the place isn't, you know, presentable. It may have some elements that may affect her health. The kids were in there yelling, you know, stressing her out. So there's some other elements that are contributing to her overall health. And so maybe that will be an added value to the physician to say, okay, maybe I should change my approach in the medicine or in addressing certain issues that maybe she's not presenting when she comes into me once every 6 months or maybe once a year.
Well, yeah. So it's almost like collaborating with the doctors.
It is. Collaborating with the doctors, with AOCs. There's agencies that are out there that are looking at providing optimal health for patients by doing certain treatment plans, by engaging with the patients. And so how much more beneficial would that information be to know that once they leave that office space, that they're having some troubles, they're having some difficulties. So that would be an added value.
That's amazing. So I wanted to take this time now to pivot a little bit. You mentioned that you are starting a training. Can you talk a little bit about that training?
Yeah.
What are the qualifications to be a part of that?
Yeah. So I'll touch on a part where phlebotomists are looking for other ways to provide a service, right? So one of the things that I talk to in my mentoring training is, you know, what else are you going to do besides blood draws? And are you going to be able to do that for the next 30, 40 years? Do you want to do that, right? And so diversifying your skill set is important. One of the things that I found out was for some physicians in different groups that I mentioned before were asking, do you have anybody who can start IV? I can do the calculations. I can do all of that. I just, you know, my skill set is not to start. I need some people to start it. And so I started a kind of a prelim training doing some IV insertion training. So just the insertion part, you know, knowing how to, you know, transition the catheter into the vein and things like that. And so that grew to a relationship with nurse practitioners and nurses who were looking to start their own IV therapy clinic. There's a lot of detail that goes into that. It's not just, you know, purchasing a few IV bags and sticking it. It's a lot of detail. So I created a training called Quality Nurse Training that focuses on nurses and RNs to be able to start their own IV therapy clinic.
Wow. And so is this something that anybody can do from any location, or is it at a specific location?
It is. It's a online training. It gives you the nuts and bolts of how to really start. I connect you with some of my vendors who can provide you discounts for the compound solutions. I have recipes within the training. I show you how to start your business. I show you where you start your business, who the legal part of it. So everything that you need to know is in this training, right? There are some consulting side of it. I have a nurse practitioner, a partner who can give some guidance on a business aspect for them as well. We also are doing testosterone wellness clinic for men and a weight loss. It's a great drug out there. It's called Wegovy. And it's doing amazing things for people who really want to lose weight. And then there's more trainings to come, right? Other things that nurse practitioners, nurses, EMTs can be used in this space, and phlebotomists, right? Phlebotomists have a chain in that link under the direction of those who have a certification for that.
Right. So a phlebotomist would need to get another certificate to perform IV hydration?
Yeah, I would say that they needed to get some kind of certification or training with that. So for right now, the current state of phlebotomy is they're limiting your training. And that's another conversation we can talk about. I really would love to talk about changing the designation for phlebotomists. Phlebotomists are in nursing homes. Phlebotomists are in hospitals. Phlebotomists are in labs. Phlebotomists are out in the field, clinics, Quest, LabCorp, everywhere. And they're learning so many different skill sets, but they are narrowed down to drawing blood. I believe that they have a larger skill set, right? They can take blood pressure, right? They can do your BMI, right? They can do height and weight, right? Then we can start talking about patient monitoring, right? Hooking up devices. It's all within the training. Nurses do it. They go from being a med-surg nurse to a critical care nurse or ER nurse or OR nurse. They all get a training. They don't go all the way back to school. They get an extended training within those facilities. And I believe that phlebotomists can do the same thing. And I'm sure a lot of you guys believe that and are doing it. I know that phlebotomists are doing IV therapy. I know some phlebotomists that are doing drug and alcohol testing. A great company called Finest Blood out of Houston, Texas is doing great. There are a lot of different companies that are doing well in this space.
Yeah, that's amazing. The opportunities, right?
Yeah.
I mean, definitely look into that. I think that it would be, like you said, beneficial in the long term. Because it's something that blood draws will always be here, but there's also going to be a lot more tests that people are going to be doing at home. I think I saw the other day that LabCorp just, they were given permission to now administer, I think it was like an at-home kit.
Yeah, it's called Pixel. They've been doing it for a little bit now. So they send an at-home kit to you, and it's a finger prick. It's, I don't know if people are familiar with the little PKU cards, and they do the cards. So they have cortisol, so you do saliva testing. So yeah, it's out there. There's another company called IUmetrics. They also do that. There's several companies out there that are doing those at a smaller scale. The Lab Genius will be doing that as well. We'll be creating kits and lab kits for our consumers to do as well as go into one of our retail locations that we'll be opening up soon, that you'll be able to go and get your direct-to-consumer lab test done, as well as IV therapy.
So talk a little bit about that. So you guys have now a retail location. What does that mean?
So, yeah. So I know that I see some phlebotomists that have said, you know what, I don't just want to do mobile. I want to have a person come into my clinic and make it feel like a patient service center. Right. And that is awesome. And so there's a company called Any Lab Test Now, Arc Point Labs. There's a few companies out there that are doing this retail model. And so I would say it's similar to a patient service center, but for direct to consumer. So a customer or you or I could say, you know, I want to take control of my health. I want to know what my cholesterol is instead of waiting to go and see my doctor, because I know I have a family history of high cholesterol. So let me go into a facility, get my blood taken, and find out for my own records. STD testing, maybe I don't want that into my personal record because I'm monitoring myself. Maybe I participated in some activities that I want to kind of keep to myself, so I can do that as well. So there's several panels of tests that I can go out and get and pay for it and have it in my own records. And I strongly encourage anyone, whether it's in a hospital setting or a physician setting or direct to consumer, to take control of your health, to monitor your own test results, keep a record of those results so that you can see like where you're headed at for your health, because we ideally would like to live as long as we can.
Yeah, it's giving them that flexibility to choose when or what tests they could. So that's something that they would also have to pay out of pocket.
Yeah, out of pocket. And there's an educational part that we need to do. I know phlebotomists have that part as far as, well, I'm going to charge you $50 or $60 or $100 to do a blood draw at a home. So that was an educational part for customers to see the value in that. The same value for direct to consumer that, again, has been out in the market. Quest has a direct to consumer market. LabCorp has a direct to consumer market. There's a lot of companies that have direct to consumer markets. So it's just educating the public to say that this is a fee for service that can benefit you for the long term. So it may be a panel, a health, men's health, a women's health panel could be $199. But the value that you have with that far oversees the, you know, the insurance payment. Because if you think about it, if your deductible was $3,500 or $2,500 or $1,000, you have to pay up into that deductible, right? And then how much of that will be paid to, by your insurance once you start getting, you know, you went to the ER, get your elbow checked, you got your regular routine check, that taps into your deductible. And so when you really want to get something for yourself, then you're still paying out of pocket. And it may be an 80-20 plan. It could be a 70-30 plan that you're on. There's different plans out there that will affect your outcome for what you pay out of pocket.
And so how different would it be for a phlebotomist to do this on their own or as a group than like CVS MinuteClinic?
CVS is a, that's a good point. So if CVS, if you don't know, has planned to shut down 900 store locations over the next few years, right? And so they're going to convert that into a smaller clinic. And so you can see them as a competitor, or you can see them as a reason why you should be doing it as well, right? And so if the bigger companies are saying, you know what, we see this in the market, mm-hmm. and you should be rushing to be alongside of that as quickly as possible so that we can be a part of the market share. So the market share is great. It's fast. It's not limited to, well, the big box people have it, so I can't do it. No, you can take a small market share. I'm sure making $400,000 or $500,000 a year would be great for a lot of smaller phlebotomy companies, right? And how do you do that? How do you scale? It's a challenge to do it by yourself. I'm not saying that you can't do it. Is it better to do it in a group? I say it is. I say that companies like Fleb Finders, you know, they do amazing things. I say companies like myself, the Lab Genius. I say companies that are doing some great work in the field to join up forces, and then collectively we can go after the market share that LabCorp and Quest have.
Yeah, there's some great insight here. Makes you think a little bit about how we all got started. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, having Arm Hug to supply all of our supplies is just a no-brainer, right? We just have to get them locked into whatever we're doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're going to have new updates soon, so we'll be able to actually post that when those things come up. Right now, everything's kind of confidential or just still in the works. But no, yeah. Absolutely. We're always thinking about our phlebotomists. We're always thinking about ways that we can continue to help the phlebotomists. We want to educate them. We want to give them a safe space to ask questions. Right. You know, I get so many questions, and yeah. Some of them it's the same. I mean, have you had a similar experience?
I have. And I wanted to thank you so much for that last interview. I did have been getting a lot of inquiries and reach outs asking about business. And the number one question that keeps coming up is pricing. Like, how much should I charge for my service? And I think I mentioned it last time, which is time versus money. How much time am I going to spend on a thing, and how much money I'm going to charge for it? But with that, you need to know your market. Like in West Virginia, where the average income may be $28,000, how are you going to charge $130 for a blood draw? Nobody's going to do that, right? So, yes, you're spending the same quality of time, but you have to know the market as well. And so maybe in New York, I can do that, right? And in Houston, I can do that. In Washington, D.C., where I'm at, I can do that. Atlanta, where we are, we can do that. California, yes, right? And maybe even higher. But certain areas, you just have to decide. And on top of that, if I'm taking an hour to get to the patient, I have to quantify my time to say that will require X, and I won't give out too much information. Reach out to me. We can have a conversation about that. But that's really big. Time versus money.
Yeah, incredible. Well, that was the last question for the interview. Any advice you have for people who are just getting started? I always try to end it that way so that, you know, people have some inspiration, some motivation.
Yeah. Yeah. It again, if I can't stress enough, there's enough space out there for everybody.
Exactly.
And the benefit of having a mentor, having someone that guides you, asking questions is paramount. You should definitely do that. Do your research. Don't just jump out there. I'll say again, too, is create a plan, have a budget, execute the date. So that's extremely important as well. And, you know, we're here. If you guys need us, you know, comment down below, send us a message. We'll get back to you.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Javon, for joining us.
Yeah.
And we'll talk soon.
Okay.